You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, Glenn Davis here, host of Soccer Matters, reminding you nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Bud Light knows that moments spent with friends are the ones that really matter. And late night stories are best served cold. So as you swing by your friend's apartment, you head to the bar for happy hour, you celebrate the Astros, or you celebrate watching the Premier League, make sure you grab some ice cold Bud Lights. Make tonight tomorrow's story, because with Bud Light, you're not just drinking beers, you're building friendships. Bud Light, proud sponsor and official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and the Houston Dynamo. And with that, we bring in a great friend of the show, former defender for Newcastle in England. He is the one and only Warren Barton, fresh off Europa League and Champions League commentary this week. Warren, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Always a pleasure, my friend. No problem.
So, look, I wanted to get your update and your thoughts on how at Newcastle, our right back for the national team is doing.
Yeah, I think he's doing well. I think he's learning from an outstanding coach. I think, obviously, his time with Sunderland in the EPL under Sam Allardyce helped him to understand that it's not just about going forward. It is about also defending, and I think his appetite for the game, his energy, he's obviously his enthusiasm for the game has endeared him to the fans. So I speak to a lot of people back home in Newcastle and at the club, and they've been delighted, and they said it's been a pleasure off the field as well, you know, whether that's in the training ground, in and around town. So far, so good, and I think he's in a good spot because Rafa Benitez will educate him as a player and educate him in a defensive side that can only benefit him going forward.
Have you seen him, DeAndre Yedlin? Have you seen him kind of mature out and smooth over some of the rough edges?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I remember when he burst onto the scene at Seattle and I liked him. I liked how positive he was on the ball. But it was all about going forward. And even for the national team, you know, they used him in the World Cup as a wide right player and felt that maybe could help him. But I think he's really a modern-day fullback, which is, you know, yes, to get forward, yes, you have to get back, and you have to be able to have that endurance as an athlete. And I think he's done that well. I think he's got a lot more composure on the ball, and particularly, and again, speaking to people at Newcastle, his final product. Now, whether that's a cross, whether that's a pass, or whether that's just keeping the ball, I think he's made that decision better. Because when he first started, Glenn, I think he just played everything at 100 miles an hour, and you have to change gears, whether that's slow down, go forward, and I think he's bringing that, and that comes with experience, that comes with composure, because it's not easy to play in front of 52,000 screaming Geordies every other week, so he's really done well in that side of the game, because people love him, because he wears his heart on his sleeve, but also he's got a bit of quality about him, and I think that's come in particularly the last 6 to 7 months.
DeAndre Yedlin in Newcastle tomorrow at home against Bournemouth at St. James Park in northern England. That's live on NBC SN. Let's go to yesterday. Well, let's stick on the Premier League, actually. Let me keep us on the Premier League here. Let's just talk a little bit about Manchester City in the Premier League and in the Champions League, and just the way this team is coming together, the type of football that they're playing right now, the quality of it. And I know they're all the Pep Guardiola haters out there, but boy, he's got this team playing some fantastic, eye-appealing soccer right now.
Yeah, I think, you know, the style of football that he's played, and I think with the respect of the league that he earned last year, has just fine-tuned it. I think he wanted to play his way, and that's the only way. But there are some times where he's gone a bit more direct. He's brought pace into the team. That's not just tippy-tack keeping it. There's passing with a purpose. He's made De Bruyne to one of the best midfield players in the world. Aguero as scoring goals, as you would expect. But people like Stones and Otamendi, he's made them secure. But I think that goes down to Ederson, the goalkeeper. They've now got a goalkeeper that, yes, can pass it out the back. Yes, he's very good with his feet, but also can save shots, come for crosses, commands his area very well. And I think the money that they spent opened a few people's eyes. But when they bought that, they've got quality. And obviously with Kyle Walker coming in, they look the real deal. Them and PSG in Europe at the moment are the best teams by far. Style of football, goals scored. So if they can maintain that, then we should have a cracking Champions League and obviously a very good EPL. But they will have a dip in the EPL because that's what that league does to you. It challenges you three or four games. It's how they come through that adversity. We'll see how they are at the end of the season. But there's no doubt about him as a coach, how he wants them to play. But I think the Premier League has made him, I think, a better coach because I think he went into the Premier League thinking, well, it's the same as the Bundes, it's the same as the Liga. I do it my way and it'll be fine. The Premier League challenges you in a different way. Antonio Conte's found it this year.
But credit Guardiola for the stretch and being able to change, right? And I think we've always heard him throughout his career saying he seeks out other challenges. And I like that about him. I know everybody, you know, I think there's a large contingent of people that want to see the guy fail because of how successful he's been. But I mean, what would the Premier League be without some of these good managers that are foreign, like Guardiola, like Pochettino, right?
Yeah, I mean, what I love about a coach is that they adapt. And we've seen maybe coaches in the past, i.e. a Sam Allardyce, I play this way, and that's the only way you play. You know, the best I think has ever been is Sir Alex Ferguson. His first Man United team was different to his fledgings when they had Beckham and Scholes and Giggs. And then when he had Ronaldo and Rooney, they was different then. So I think he adapted to Alex, have got what he wanted. And I think Pep's done that. And I think that's credit to him. You know, you look at Pochettino, Klopp, Antonio, Conte, you know, and Mourinho. You know, they're probably arguably the best five, six coaches in the world, you would say, them guys. And they're in a league that has, you know, resources beyond any league there is in the world. And that's, I think, there's no doubt why you've seen a benefit in the Champions League.
And relative to Major League Soccer in our country, wouldn't MLS be a little less interesting if Tata Martino wasn't there or some of the Colombian coaches weren't there like Oscar Perea and Wilmer Cabrera here in Houston?
Yeah, I think that adds to the melting pot. I think that challenges your different styles of football. That's why Dallas have an identity, Atlanta have an identity, the way they play. And I think that challenges other coaches. It challenges Jesse Marsh. It will challenge Peter Vermes at Kansas City, and that's great for them as coaches and for the league because each time, and also as an analyst, you know, we're not going into leagues where everybody plays the same. There's different styles, there's different tactics, and I think they up your game as an individual, and I think Peter and Jesse will say that, you know, and even Patrick Vieira, he's come in, he's got a different idea, and that's what makes it so competitive.
Warren Barton, Fox analyst, former Newcastle defender, joining us on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Let's go to that Spurs 3-1 win over Real Madrid in the Champions League. Harry Kane has been out talking about the importance of this win. That's a big one historically for Spurs, isn't it?
It's huge. You know, this word potential, great coach, great group of young players. You know, to go and beat someone like Real Madrid, I'll just go back to my time, it was a long, long time ago, but when we beat the mighty Barcelona with, you know, Figo in the team, it just gives you that confidence and that belief that you can beat a team. And Glenn, they didn't just beat Real Madrid. They actually overrun them, overpowered them, overplayed them. Harry Kane was sensational. He played against Nacho. Instead of going against Sergio Ramos, he said, right, I'm going to play against Nacho and bully him and bring the ball into play. Dele Alli looked like he had a point to prove. And then you put Modric and Eriksen, you know, Eriksen was there to take over for Modric, and I think Eriksen showed in that game that he's excellent. But Pochettino with his tactics, Marcelo pushed forward. We're going to hit Trippier with a diagonal ball. They've done it three or four times and was unfortunate not to get more goals. So it's a big statement because everyone, and we had Brad Friedel in the studio, and I said, two things with Spurs. They have to win silverware soon, but this game, if they beat them, it makes a statement. And I think that's what it did. As much as people say, well, Real Madrid had people injured, they looked a bit fatigued, I think Spurs made them look like that. I think Spurs overrun them, they were so much more powerful, because Real Madrid are used to playing at their pace, and anyone that plays against them, they sit back off. I go with the first goal, it's a ball played in behind Nacho, and normally a centre forward would just let the ball run out, it's just gone, don't worry about it, let Real Madrid have the ball. Harry Kane made Nacho make a decision, he gives a throw-in away, before Real Madrid could get organised. He took a throw-in, goes to Harry Winks, goes to diagonal, they score the goal. They didn't have a chance to breathe. They just swamped them, and that's down to the tactics of Pochettino. So we know Real Madrid are in a funk. They've come out of it. They're a world-class team with world-class players. But I think it was a huge statement across the world of how they beat them. It wasn't 1-0, they're hanging on. They totally overrun them, and it could have been 4 or 5. And I know they got the goal, but it was a very, very good performance from goalkeeper to striker for Spurs, and I think it's a big statement for them in Europe.
When you saw the lineup for the game, and there was no Danny Rose, no Moussa Sissoko, were you a little bit? I mean, I was kind of like, "Wow, this is interesting." He obviously knows this team better than I do, but he did leave out a lot of so-called starters.
Yeah, I've got, again, Brad Friedel, I've got the utmost respect for him, and we speak about the game and about Pochettino as a coach. And I think Danny Rose, one, being injured, but also coming out with a statement and him being linked, and it was no coincidence with Kyle Walker toward the end of last season that he left him out and gave Trippier. He's sort of like, you're either with us or you're not. So he's saying to Danny Rose, you either want to be with us or I'll go with Ben Davis. And if that's not working, I'll make something else happen. Now, you might need Danny Rose to go and win a trophy or do well and get qualified for Champions League. But he's made a statement that they've beaten Real Madrid without Danny Rose. Now the pressure's on Danny Rose. Now he has to perform. If he does want that move away, then he's got to be playing. But I think Pochettino, I love what he does. He believes in players like Harry Winks. You'd think, well, maybe go with Sissoko in there, is more physics. No, he's played the kid in the Bernabeu. He's played him at home and he didn't let him down. And that's great to see young players being given that opportunity. And as I said, understanding what his mindset's like with Pochettino and how he's dealt with Daniel Levy, the owner, speaks volumes, because he said, let me do it. I know what I'm doing. Let me build the team and we will get success. And I think they're buying into it. That's why they look a very, very good team that are strong, powerful. The biggest challenge now, Glenn, is to do that throughout the season, because they were second the first year, they come third the year after. Now they've got to go and obviously either win it or win a bit of silverware to keep that momentum going.
Last one before I get you go. I'm a big fan of Christian Eriksen. I think he silently gets a lot done, and I know he does get appreciation, but sometimes he's overshadowed, by Harry Kane and Dele Alli and all. But boy, just the way this guy plays from a consistency standpoint to me is just a thing of beauty.
You know what, Glenn, as well, I watched, and like I said, he was sort of taking over for Modric, but his work rate. Whenever you watch Eriksen play, a lot of people just look for his assist or his dead ball specialities, but that fella works hard for the team. He's been phenomenal from Denmark, the goals, the assist. He's the one that's really kept them alive in this World Cup campaign. They've still got to go into the playoffs, but his work rate, they look lean, they look athletic, they look like they're enjoying the game. So it's the other side that I love about him as well. It's not just the offensive side, give me the ball and I'll make it out. He does the other side, and I think that's credit to him of buying in to what wants him to do.
Warren, as always, great stuff. We really appreciate your expertise, and thank you as always for coming on. The show appreciates it, and so do all the listeners.
You're a gentleman, Glenn. Good luck, my friend. Take care.
Have a great weekend. That's Warren Barton, thank Fox you. Analyst, also was a defender with Newcastle in England. We remind you again, as host of Soccer Matters, nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Bud Light knows that moments spent with friends are the ones that really matter, and that late night stories are better served cold. So swing by, go to your friend's apartment, head to the bar, head down to the King's Court or Gorgeous Gale to catch the Dynamo on Sunday against Portland. Make sure you grab some ice cold Bud Lights. Make tonight tomorrow's story, because with Bud Light, you're not just drinking beers, you're building friendships. Bud Light is a proud sponsor, official beer of the Houston Dynamo. We'll take a break. Much more to come. Best in soccer talk. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, self-proclaimed.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Hey, Glenn Davis here, host of Soccer Matters, reminding you that nothing goes better together than great friends and Bud Light. Bud Light knows that moments spent with friends are the ones that really matter, and that late-night stories are the best when served cold. So as you swing by your friend's apartment, you head to the bar for a happy hour, you head down to a Dynamo game, make sure you grab some ice-cold Bud Lights. Make tonight tomorrow's story, because with Bud Light, you're not just drinking beers, you're building friendship. Bud Light, proud sponsor of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, and Bud Light proudly brings us Dynamo defender Jahlil Anibaba joining us. Jahlil, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Yeah, no problem, Glenn. Thanks for having me.
So I've looked at you this year, and I've seen this roster overhaul, and I've seen the rotation policy. You were a starter last year. You logged a ton of minutes. And I know this has got to be tough, coming in certain situations, thrust off the bench into the middle of a very intense game. And you did that against Chicago and played incredibly well, shutting down David Akam. But I got to think this has been a different year for you. And those are tough moments when you're not playing regular, yet you got to come in and you really got to produce, and you have.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, keeping a positive attitude and training hard each and every day is all about. And I feel like, I've had to keep my mentality strong throughout this year, and different aspects of my professionalism have been tested. And I think, I can only really say that it's been my teammates who have kept me even keeled throughout this year from a personal standpoint.
Jahlil, by the way, played at a very good college program, Santa Clara. We know him from his days in Seattle, Sporting Kansas City, Chicago Fire, here with the Dynamo now. Last year, one thing I really was impressed with you, I did see some people losing the edge. Tough year. I never saw you waver in your commitment, your professionalism, your competitiveness up until the end of last season. And you don't need to respond to that. I'm just kind of applauding you and giving you a compliment for that. And that people saw that, I believe. Talk to me about the situation the Dynamo are in now going to Portland. How confident are you guys? It's actually, I think, when we examine it with the injuries that they have, I think it's an incredible opportunity for you guys.
Yeah, that's how we see it as well. The first leg, when you take a couple days to look at it, it's a positive result. They didn't get an away goal. That's something that's a major positive for us. And we know if we get one early in the game, we have a lot of options in terms of how the result can play out in our favor. So, overall, we're confident. We're happy with where things sit right now, and we're just focused on going up there and doing our job.
How different is it when you're on the artificial surface? Is it a big difference? I know you played on it a lot in Seattle, but I'm just wondering: is there anything that changes in the approach and how you play Portland, basically because of the surface?
There's no change in terms of the overall approach just because of the pitch, I would say. We're going to go into the game just like we would go into any other game. But it's definitely, an aspect of the game that's different from, playing on grass or any other field. But what I will say about Portland's turf is that I think it's the best synthetic surface there is in the league. It plays pretty true to grass, as close as you could get, I think. And I've always said that and felt that way about Portland's turf. So, there are some other turf fields in the league that kick up a little bit more and are more difficult to play on. But I've always been a fan of Portland's turf, so I don't see it being too much of an issue, to be honest.
He's Dynamo defender Jahlil Anibaba joining us here. Was drafted by the Chicago Fire, number 9 overall in the 2011 Super Draft. That moment when you came out of college and you were drafted by Chicago, that had to be a big moment in your career. Just go back to that day and kind of take me through it when you knew you were going to Chicago and you were picked in the top 11 players from around the country.
Oh, wow. It's a big moment for anyone, really. When you're drafted and your name is called, and you know, you realize that it's the defining moment that signifies that your dream has come true. It's a special feeling. I was really happy at the time because you know, I knew that I was going to a great city. I knew that I was going to a franchise that I would have an opportunity to grow as a young player. And you know, I was obviously humbled by just giving that opportunity. You know, in looking back on my time in Chicago, it was like I said, it was a time where I was able to grow as a young player. I was able to make mistakes on the field. I was able to you know, learn from those mistakes and grow into a professional. And I was able to, you know, become the player that I am now from those years in Chicago.
Any specific real role models growing up that really, I don't know, encouraged the passion in the game of soccer for you or taught you things that you carried over into your professional career?
Yeah, my brothers. My older brothers were the benchmark that I used to measure myself throughout my childhood and my life on the soccer pitch. And they were, since they were older than me and they were better than me and they were stronger than me, they were they served as you know, a benchmark that I could never really match up against, but I always tried. And I think that's the true essence of being a professional. When you're a professional, you're always trying to improve. You're always trying to get better. You're always trying to look for ways to gauge yourself against just that simple pursuit of getting better and achieving more and more and more. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to have that driving force in my life at a young age. And, you know, it set the tone for always wanting more for myself, on the pitch as a soccer player, professionally. And, you know, I have them to thank for that, for always, you know, pushing me and kicking me down when I was a young gun. 'Cause that's what made me tough.
Jahlil Anibaba joining us here on ESPN 97.5. This is Soccer Matters, ahead of the Houston Dynamo taking on the Portland Timbers. Second leg of the Western Conference semifinals Sunday. There is a watch party at Kings Court, who, by the way, great sponsor of this show. So our thanks to Kings Court right there on Hutchins down in Edo near the stadium, and Jay. So we appreciate their support of soccer on the radio. So if I said to you, what is it about Diego Valeri and the Portland attack that's troubling, what would you say?
I could talk about that for a long time, but to sum it up, I would just say that it's very dynamic and very hard to defend. It's you know, very, very unpredictable. You can't you know, put what Diego Valeri can do in a box. You can't just say, okay, if we force him to these areas of the field, he's going to be contained. If we do X, Y, and Z, he's going to be ruled out of the game, which you can do with some attacking players. But with him, you simply just have to be aware of where he is at all times. You know, try to get guys around him as quickly as possible. Don't give him time and space to pick up his head, to, you know, manufacture a goal on his own, score a goal on his own, or, you know, set up some of you know, the other dangerous players they have, like Maddox and Espria and, you know, whoever else they're going to have, depending on their lineup issues that they have going on as well. So, yeah, they're very dynamic, and we're very well aware of what they can do. But, you know, we have our own tricks up our sleeve as well.
Jahlil Anibaba joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. All right, you know, obviously we have to address this. Tyler Derrick getting in some trouble here. He's not going to be available. He's been suspended by the league for some allegations that have come against him. How unsettling is this for the team, and how have you guys dealt with this?
We've dealt with it well internally. I think, you know, the entire club has all the confidence in Joe Willis and Kelly Brown, and we're a strong side. We're looking forward to the match on Sunday, and you know, whoever's between the pipes, we have all the confidence in.
Training sessions, because this year they've been closed. How are they different from the ones you were in last year, Jaleel? Obviously, two coaches last year, Owen Coyle, Wade Barrett. How are they different this year in your mind?
The training sessions or the managers in general?
Both. Training sessions, manager, demeanor. Just kind of take us into your training sessions and how maybe they're different from last year and what it's like under Wilmer.
Yeah, with Wilmer, one thing that he has, hammered in from day one is that he's, always wanted us to be tactically sound from a defensive standpoint. We hammer in the tactics in terms of how we want to defend, and that's something that we work on every single week, and we haven't gotten away from that. Sometimes when you feel like you have certain aspects of your team makeup down and you feel like you've trained it over and over and over and you don't feel like you need to do it anymore, sometimes you get away from doing those things week in and week out. But with us, from a defensive standpoint, we've stuck to that. Last year it's tough to say, just because we had two different managers and there are a lot of different things going on, but I feel like we've really stuck to what's made us successful, and that's sticking to the same regiment. And like I said, we spent a lot of time on being defensively sound and hammering in the defensive tactics.
Last one before I let you go, Jaleel, and thank you very much for coming on, and I'll give you a pretty good luck in Portland. What has it been on the road? Because you've been in games, you've been close. What is it on the road? Everybody asks me all the time. I mean, somebody came up to me in a coffee shop today and said, Glenn, why is it, ahead of Portland, I'm worried about the Dynamo, the road. Why is it that they can't replicate what they do at home on the road from a results standpoint? Anything you can add to that? Because I really told them, I said, look, I can't put my finger on it. I can't really answer it.
Look, let's face it. There's a lot of parity in MLS. Each game, whether it's home or away, is difficult, but that home field advantage that you face in MLS is very tough. And saying that, each and every game that you play out on the road, no matter what place the team is in, whether they're top of the table, bottom of the table, it's going to be very, very difficult. And I feel like that's something that, yeah, we've struggled with, but what seemed to go our way this year was when we had our road woes, the results within our conference seemed to go our way at that point in time. It's something that we understand has been, something that has been difficult for us, getting results on the road, but at the same time too, it hasn't been so bad where, we weren't able to make the playoffs and we weren't able to be in a position that we want to be at this point in time of the year. The way I see it, what happened in the regular season is a wash. We're here and we're ready to face Portland Sunday, and we know what we need to do. If we were looking at, our weaknesses throughout the regular season, I feel like we wouldn't have been focused on the first knockout round against Kansas City and then the first leg against Portland. So we're just looking forward to Sunday, and we've put the negatives behind us after analyzing them, and we've tried to replicate the positive.
Is all the pressure on the Portland Timbers?
There's pressure on both squads. It's do or die in a sense. We know that we have more options in terms of results than they do, and like I touched on earlier, an early away goal for us would bode well. But at the end of the day, no one's, playing for a tie or, you know, playing not to lose. It's we're playing to win. Both teams are playing to win. There's pressure on both of us, and we understand that. So, like I've been, you know, trying to get across throughout this whole interview, that we're focused on Sunday. We know it's going to be a tough match. They're ready. You know, at this point in the year, it's all about form, and we feel like we're in good form. We've been playing well, and everybody's keyed into what they need to do.
Jahlil, best of luck in Portland, and thank you very much for coming on the program tonight.
Glenn, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me. We'll see you soon.
All right, that's Jahlil Anibaba. And let me tell you, off the bench, he has been very important here for the Dynamo. He will be again in Portland. This interview brought to you by Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, serving Houston since 1982. 713-782-4911. So I got an incredible couch coming from Danish Inspirations that's actually functional. You can make it bigger. It's going to be perfect for watching games. I'm getting it next week. I'm so excited to get this leather couch. I mean, you could sleep a family on this thing, the size of it. So it's going to be pretty awesome. So my thanks to Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. It's danishinspirations.com. It's my good friend Jan Christensen. You know him as the Great Dane. You've seen him at Dynamo games. You've heard him with the goal call on the show. So our thanks to Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture. We'll take a break. We got more to come.
From Dave Tepper, Carl Dukes, Julie Takahashi, Jerome Solomon, and Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, and John Granato, we celebrate 10 years of sports on FM. Thank you, Houston. ESPN 97.5.
These guys are the best at it.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. A quick word here for the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John Daspit is a personal injury attorney. He's a friend of mine. He's going to fight for your right for compensation. 713-496-0393. 713-496-0393. They're bilingual. If you've had an accident with a truck, car, boat, you work in a refinery, the Daspit Law Firm has you covered. DaspitLaw.com. It's John Daspit. He is a personal injury attorney, and his staff will fight for your right for compensation. DaspitLaw.com. Proud sponsors of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And we welcome a good friend back, former Houston Dynamo. Played in England with Bolton. You see him on Fox, and we had the pleasure of calling the game together this past Monday between the Dynamo and Portland Timbers. He's Stuart Holden. Stuart, how you doing?
Glenn, fantastic. Did you see that picture that somebody posted of us about 8 years ago where I was grabbing the mic and interviewing you? I thought that was amazing.
That was awesome. Yes, I did see it. I had a big smile on my face. That's when we were doing those opens down on the field. That was cool. Who knew,
that's
right?
That's right, man. And then
who
we knew? Were in the booth together, right? Amazing.
You know what? These two games we've done together, lots of things. It was really nice. It was fun. First of all, you're doing great in your career as an analyst, and it's fun working with you and great working with you and catching your insights and back and forth, but it's great. And I loved what you said. You said it was a great way for you to remain in the game, and I think that's the exact same thing I would have said when somebody asked me.
Yeah, and it would be nice if we could just get some goals now, because that Portland Dynamo game that we had the other night, and I still think, Glenn, that it was just a massive missed opportunity for the Houston Dynamo, especially with a depleted Portland team, a team that in the middle of that game lost Diego Chara, they lost Maviala, they lost Darlington Nagbe, and I just felt at home it was really an opportunity for Wilmer Cabrera just to throw numbers forward to try and get a goal and head to Portland where they have to try and open it up, and it would have just made that second leg, I think, a lot easier for them this weekend to be able to try and get Elise and Kyoto some more space, knowing that Portland had to come out. So I'm very interested how this one's going to play out. I still think they have a decent chance to go up there and get a result, but it's going to be a bit harder now having not scored any goals at home.
So let me play devil's advocate, because I thought at the end of the game, like you, even though the Dynamo made some attacking changes through Wilmer Cabrera, still didn't seem like they were really – I think they hit a point where they said, well, let's go to Portland 0-0 because of the away goals. We score goals and get a draw there, 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, 4-4, it doesn't matter. We'll advance. Did you see that based on their play and maybe lack of risk at the end of that game as maybe playing out in the mind of Wilmer?
I think you're right. I think it was still a cautious approach, even though they made attacking substitutions. And look, I mean, we're doing the game where Carl Robinson's Vancouver Whitecaps are going to be coming in 0-0 after playing a defensive approach at home. And so he's approaching this as, well, we're a counterattacking team. I didn't want to concede any away goals at home. I'm pretty happy going to Seattle 0-0 and seeing how we can do. And so I look at this Dynamo result, and I still firmly believe they should have gone for it and scored more goals. But I still think, having not conceded an away goal, that if they do get an away goal up in Portland at Providence Park, then they're in great shape, because Portland are going to really have to go for it. So they can sit in defensively. And I think, like you said, Wilmer Cabrera perhaps in that point was thinking, all right, I'm going to be making some attacking subs, but I just do not want to lose this game here at home. And the way that Portland have played, I don't necessarily see us scoring a goal without really opening ourselves up. And, you know, at this point, okay, that's fine.
Stu Holden joining us here on ESPN 97.5 Soccer Matters. Let's go back to something you just said here, because I'm wondering, going into Portland now, there's a lot of dynamics that have shifted and changed here. Diego Chara has broken his foot in the Dynamo game, a fifth metatarsal. You mentioned the guys that went out injured. I got to think Sebastian Blanco's a long shot with what we saw, burning off an entire layer of skin on his foot. Who knows where David Guzman is? And then the Dynamo have obviously lost Tyler Derrick here with some trouble with the law. He's been suspended by the league. All this stirring up of this game, does this favor one team or the other? I have to think it favors the Dynamo.
Well, I thought it favored the Dynamo as well, and that actually had me believing. And you could have asked me last week, I thought that Portland had a major leg up in this game. And then all these little things that have started to go the Dynamo's way, and it's a shame for the Dynamo that what's happened with Tyler Derrick, but it's really poor judgment on his part. And obviously we're waiting on a lot of the facts to come out, so it's tough to speculate there, but it really is a big blow for them, because Tyler Derrick, towards the end of the season, that game against Sporting Kansas City, he was fantastic. There were another couple other games where he's just really emerged as a solid goalkeeper and one that the team could rely on. So, you know, I think it's hard to gauge the impact of that in the general sense for the Houston Dynamo, but I think it certainly tilts the scale back towards being a little bit more even, especially with Portland losing some of their players as well.
Stu Holden joining us here, Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Have you ever been involved as a player or an analyst in a game where three players dropped before the 60th minute, all due to injury?
I can't think of one off the top of my head. That's for sure, especially all on one team as well. I mean, yeah. Caitlin Porter, I mean, when Darlington Nagbe was signaling towards the bench, I was looking down at him, and he was almost distraught. I mean, thinking, can anything else go against us right now? You know, losing two players to a late scratch, you're already missing some other key players, and then you lose three players within 45, 50 minutes in a game. And so that's why I think Portland's message coming out of that game would have been a major bonus, and just thinking, wow, I can't believe that defensive performance, the 90 minutes through there, no goal scored against a Houston Dynamo team that's been incredibly good at home. So they'll be feeling very confident going into this weekend, and perhaps confidence can be an area where the Houston Dynamo can take advantage of, because they will be feeling so good about their chances now.
Now, we all talk about Diego Valeri, Adi, we talk about Sebastian Blanco. You know, we all get leaned towards the attacking players. But a guy that allows those guys to attack has broken his foot, Diego Chara, the Colombian. And you and I have raved about this guy. It's a guy that covers a tremendous amount of ground. He's the balancing guy for them. I think this is a monster loss for them. I think this really is a problem for them and how deep they could potentially go in this tournament or this playoff.
Well, I agree with you, because a big part of the system that Caleb Porter plays, he plays a 4-2-3-1. He loves his fullbacks to get forward into the attack. He was only attacking with one fullback against Houston, being mindful of their ability on the counterattack. But they're able to do that because of Chara and because of Guzman, because they can cover ground. They can cover the gaps. They can break plays up if they need to. They stop them from breaking out. But all of a sudden you put a Lawrence Olam in there or Moby Okogu, who are very, very mobile guys as well. But they don't have the same sense of the game. They can't make the same types of tackles. And then the same way going forward, that they're not good enough on the ball to be able to circulate the ball movement that Portland like to have, which allows them to have the possession for their fullbacks to get forward. So to your point, this really does change the dynamic for Caleb Porter. If he's missing his two starting central midfielders that really are the key cog in how his team like to play and the reason that you can get Blanco and Valeri and Darlington Nagbe all free in the middle of the park is because of those guys. So it's really interesting, and I certainly thought going forward for Portland, those guys' impact on the game were both lessened by having those changes that they had to make.
It was kind of interesting. All the goals were scored in the Eastern Conference semifinals. None were scored in the Western Conference. How do you think Vancouver explains this to their fan base? I mean, they got 25,000 people at the game. They don't have a shot on goal. Their coach comes out after and says it's mission accomplished. Is there a fine line between entertainment and navigating the playoffs? Because I guess we all understand what Carl's doing. But if I'm a fan, I'm like, hey, let me know when you're going to open up and you know, I'll come that night.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, and I agree with you. Having sat with Carl Robinson and actually played with him as a player, he's been preaching this message from day one in Vancouver and saying, look, we have no stars. I would slightly disagree because I think Freddie Montero is fantastic, but we don't have the type of budget that other teams have. This is going to be our identity. This is our style. We're not a high possession team. We play on the counterattack and we score goals on set pieces. So get on the train or get off it. And they've kind of ridden that mantra the entire season. I think they had the lowest possession rate in all of Major League Soccer history as far as we've been keeping stats and overall percentage that they've had over the course of the game. And they're completely okay with that because they were two games away from clinching first in the West. So it is who they are. It might not be what we like to see, but it can certainly be effective. And I think even tonight, the Seattle Sounders are going to have to be very careful in how they approach this game.
Do we get a little too much woe is me in MLS, a little cry me river, you know, oh, we don't have the budget and, you know, and a lot of teams do it. I get it. And I guess it's a reminder from managers that they're challenged when it comes to spending and the types of resources available to them. Do you think we get a little bit too much of that sometimes?
Well, I think we do, but we see that all over the world. We see, you know, teams in the lower half of the Premier League, or, you know, they really do try and play up the David versus Goliath aspect and say, well, we're never going to compete for the top four, and Manchester United's and Arsenal's and whoever it might be are always going to be at the top, and we're just fighting the good fight. Meanwhile, they're making a lot of money. I think that becomes a victim here, Glenn, of having the single entity, the playoff structure, no relegation, because there's no accountability for owners that don't spend money. And if you don't have a great year, you get rewarded and you get the first draft pick the next season. So I think we're always going to have that. And to be honest, don't cry about it if that's the way that your ownership approaches it, because they have the opportunity to spend money under the cap. You can buy designated players. And you know, this is probably a discussion that's going to take another 30 minutes that we could really just get down and into. But I do agree with you in the fact of much is made of that, but ultimately it's up to your ownership. And I think we have one of the leagues worldwide that has more parity than any, and that you can see a team have a completely down year and then the next year be in contention to actually win the entire MLS Cup.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with you on that. And I do think the lack of consequence of the regular season sometimes is a problem. But you can buy your way back into it, and you can separate yourself a little bit now with targeted allocation money and GAM. So I do think we're starting to see some teams, you know, pulling away a little bit because of those additional mechanisms.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it'll evolve over time. And I think for a league that's in its infancy, when you compare it to other leagues around the globe, you know, soccer has come a long way here. And I think at times it's easy to get caught up in a lot of these different debates. But oftentimes now we have to realize, hey, we can go and watch professional soccer. Glenn, you and I both know, having been in Houston for a long time, that And when I grew up in Houston, we didn't have the Dynamo. We didn't have, a soccer team of that stature that I could go and aspire to play for. You had to go elsewhere before coming back. And I think when looking at these are good problems to have these days, right?
No doubt about it. I don't think there's any question. And I also think the fact that if there are people talking about it, that's only a good sign. And I do think in the future there does need to be more transparency, both from the league and all the clubs. Some clubs are better at it than others. When you were at Bolton, did they play it down? We're Bolton, we don't have the money, and yet we're going to slay the Giants. Was that used by Owen Coyle and managers in that situation?
We just knew that, the quality that they had on the field, and it was often, messages from other managers. You're playing against guys that play in the Champions League every week and playing great teams that have won World Cups. But the message was always, look, you go out there, you fight, you stand in face to face with them. We are Boltons. We have a lesser budget than they may have, but on the day we can beat these teams, and that, I think that inspires you, and it brings teams together. And it was a fun group to be a part of, and fun games. And look, I used to say all the time, the games against Manchester United and Chelsea and Arsenal, Tottenham Hotspur, those were all in a funny sense easier games to play in, because the teams let you have the ball a little bit. They're more tactically astute. It was the games against Wolves and West Brom and Stoke City that were just the games you walked off after the game and you couldn't move for 2 days because you were just physically and emotionally beat up. You'd put absolutely everything into the game. It had been a slugfest for 90 minutes because it was two teams that felt like they were more even and that you had to give a little bit more to get something out of those games. Whereas you'd go up against the Manchester United and you would have the ball and you'd feel good. You'd make a few good passes. But then they had the quality that one chance, the two chances that they would open up, they just punished you so heavily. And that's what you knew you had to be aware of. So it's fun all across it, man. Those are great memories to think back on.
Do you ever remember a game where Manchester United or a Chelsea or some club of that stature didn't show you the full respect and you guys used it as motivation and, that kind of thing?
Well, I think, you played in those games where perhaps Manchester United would rest Paul Scholes or Wayne Rooney would be on the bench and then look to come off if they were doing well. And I would say, perhaps you looked at it, but let's be honest here. They're replacing Wayne Rooney with Chicharito or Dimitar Berbatov at that time. And these are all still just top class players. So I wouldn't necessarily, it was more of a, hey, they've disrespected us. I think we didn't necessarily see it that way. More of a, well, they're coming to Bolton and they're going to have to play a certain way to try and get a result against us because of the way that we play with a high energy. We're physical. We're going to make the game fast and we're going to try and essentially bully you for 90 minutes so you don't want to come back here ever again.
Stu Holden joining us. All right, Stu, kicking it for Houston. Platform's yours.
Kicking it for Houston. Well, Glenn, first of all, we're excited to have you a part of this.
I'm excited too.
It is sports. Yeah, sports and entertainment professionals from all across different platforms, YouTube, soccer, basketball, NFL, Major League Baseball, hoping to get a couple World Series Astros involved now, which would be amazing. All coming together, we're going to play a soccer match in Houston at BBVA Compass Stadium. All the details are on our website, kickinforhouston.com. All 100% of the proceeds, every single penny that is raised from this event will go back to the city of Houston. I think a city that people still forget, how heavily that they were hit and have been hit by Hurricane Harvey and think that, well, now the Astros have won the World Series. Everything's great. No, there's people that need help. You and I know that more than any, and would just be great to get everybody out to BBVA Compass and have the ability to either donate tickets. We're going to have families come out to the game. I hope to see a ton of old faces from my Dynamo days and maybe some new faces as well, and all come together for this great cause.
Anywhere we can direct people?
Yeah, everything through the website, or you can reach me on social media on Twitter at Stu Holden or Facebook at Stu Holden. But kickinforhouston.com is the website we're using, Glenn, for tickets, for information, for all the celebrities that are involved, and Steve Nash, Roger Clemens. And we're hoping to be able to announce a few more exciting names in the coming days.
Kickinforhouston.com. He's Stu Holden. Great way to end the night here with something charitable as well. Stu, as always, Thank you for coming on the program.
Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon.
You got it. See you down the line. That's Stu Holden, player with Bolton, Houston Dynamo, has done a great job as a Fox analyst now. That'll do it for tonight here. Quick word here for Daspit Law, DaspitLaw.com. John Daspit is a personal injury attorney. He'll fight for your right for compensation. 713-496-0393. Bilingual, truck, car, boat, refinery accidents, they will get you covered. They will fight for your right for compensation. DaspitLaw.com. We thank King's Court, The Gorgeous Gale, Azure Salon, Bud Light, Liberty Kitchen, Danish Inspirations, Contemporary Furniture, and the great Jan Christensen. We thank all of them for supporting Soccer on the Radio over all these years. For Tyler Scott and all of you who listened in, called in tonight, and our guests, thank you. And until next Wednesday, I'm Glenn Davis. Good night.
ESPN 97.5.